Thank you, Guilherme, and apologies for the technical glitch at the beginning. And now I, oops, a bit of a shuffle. There's not a lot of space behind here. Now I have the pleasure of inviting Nancy Young. Nancy is the Vice President, Environmental Affairs for the Air Transport Association of America.
It's my distinct pleasure to be here today. I think what, in listening throughout the last couple days, hopefully people are taking away various messages, one of them being that the industry is united. We have stringent and progressive emissions targets. We're seeking a rational regulatory framework flowing from international agreement at ICAO. We're pursuing all sorts of measures to get emissions reductions. And alternative fuels is one of the key pieces of that. And I think what you see in alternative fuels in the panel today and the discussions that will occur later are really a kind of a microcosm of how it does take all of those players to move alternative fuels forward and our goals forward and ultimately to achieve what we're trying to achieve. So I think this is a really good case study, and you see airlines and manufacturers and government and everybody working together, and that's exactly what it takes. So today, I want to focus on one of the key roles that the airlines have. And you've already heard from Chris and Paul and others about things that airlines are doing to test alternative fuels, things that we're doing to help promote them, working in research and development hand in hand with the producers. What I'm going to talk about is what we ultimately have to get to, which is buying the fuels. So in 2008, on Earth Day, the ATA, the Air Transport Association Board of Directors, and the Air Transport Association is the trade association that represents the U.S. and North American airlines primarily, they came together, again, as part of this overall move in aviation towards alternative fuels, and said, we as the user community need to send a clear signal about what it is we want in alternative fuels and what are the conditions for us to buy it, so that the producers of that know that aviation is here, we're ready, and they can figure out how to provide and meet what we want. And so we articulated four very clear, simple criteria. We want safety, fuel quality, obviously that's number one in aviation, supply reliability, cost competitiveness, we can't buy the fuels if we can't afford them, and we need environmental benefits. And those are all pretty simple statements, but they've really helped shape the work that we've been doing with the producer community then to get to an actual purchase agreement. I think a key message here is we're in a relatively new market. Alternative fuels have been around in various ways for a long time, but to really get to commercially flying them, we've had a number of steps to go through. So we have a new market, and what we need to do is reduce uncertainties to get to the actual purchase agreement. One of the ways that we've been working on that is working through the Commercial Aviation Alternative Fuels Initiative, and you've heard some references to that throughout this conference. Founded in 2006 by sort of four significant entities, FAA in the United States, Air Transport Association of America, Airports Council International, and the Aerospace Industries Association. And you can see, even from those founding partners, the collaboration it takes, government, airports, manufacturers, airlines. And then expanding this initiative out to almost 300 partners today, CAFE has been designed around trying to reduce those uncertainties and get us to actual deployment of commercially viable, environmentally friendly alternative fuels. So CAFE has been divided up into teams that help support getting to those ultimate goals. And those are the four teams listed here, certification and qualification. Really promoting and working within the processes for jet fuel specifications to prove up fuels as ready, that they can meet the specs and make sure that the specs then are there so that we can work towards them. Research and development, identifying the array of suitable fuels. Paul Steele mentioned there are certain qualities that you need to have when you fly an aircraft. You need to have a certain energy density. You need to be able to deal with extreme temperatures, both high and low, et cetera. So the research and development team really focuses on what are the types of fuels that meet those criteria. Business and economics, how do we get commercial viability? How do we finance these things? And what are the commercial terms we need for purchasing these types of fuels? And environment. And environment, obviously, how do we show the environmental benefit? How do we show that these fuels, how they relate to the conventional fuels we've been using all along? And what are the right methodologies for proving that up? And then what is the data bank for that? I'm going to take a little bit of a step back before I move on here, because a lot of people ask me, so CAFI, you know, you've kind of said it, and there are four founding members. It goes back to 2006. You've been doing a lot of things. You've got these teams. But I don't really get it. And I'm hoping a few of you out there are as geeky as I am, and you've watched the television show or seen the movies Star Trek. And in Star Trek, you have what's called the Federation. And you have all these different planets, and you have all these different people, different cultures coming together under a loose configuration towards sort of a common good. And that's essentially what CAFI is. So without the good efforts of any individual, Qatar Airlines doing the work that it's doing, Boeing Airlines working with Boeing aircraft engines working with our airlines to do these test flights, without finance people, without governments sitting down and talking to us about the specs, there would be nothing there. And so we really need to rely on this federation. The progress to date in this federation has really helped us get closer and closer, and actually to actual deals. So key elements, again, and I'm going to key these to the CAFI teams that are going forward. One, having the new jet fuel spec. It's been mentioned a few times. In September this year, we got approval of a new jet fuel spec for Fischer-Tropsch fuels, alternative fuels produced through this. And I sat in a meeting with a financer recently, and he said, okay, so you have this spec. And that means, okay, if it's, I can't really get what it's like. So sometimes when I order food at a restaurant, they say, do you want this served with meat? Or if you're a vegetarian, do you want it with tofu? Is it sort of like with tofu? And I said, well, it's not really tofu, it's meat. What happens when you meet the jet fuel specification is the jet fuel is what we fly in our aircraft. And that's what's critical to the financers. It's not fake. It's not alternative, and we use that word. It is the real deal when it comes out of the jet fuel process, spec process. And that's what's critical for the airlines to be able to buy it and the financers to be able to say, yeah, I'll go ahead and put money towards that. We're obviously working on another jet fuel spec revision for hydroprocessed renewable jet, and Guillerme and others have mentioned we're also working on one for fermented renewable jet. So these stepwise processes are very critical to have the spec so that we can say that's what we'll buy, it's the product we buy, and the financers can say that's the real deal. The decision made a while back to really focus on drop-in fuels has also made things a lot easier. When we say a drop-in fuel, as Chris mentioned, and Paul as well, it needs to go into the system that we have today. So we're not re-engineering our aircraft, we're not re-engineering our storage, et cetera. Chris mentioned something interesting in their experience. The fuel that they were working with should have been fully interchangeable with the pipelines and other things in their system. And so what he's flagged up for us is, it is the same fuel. As I said, it's meat. But we've got to work on acceptance, because clearly if they're having those kinds of challenges, logistical challenges, we need to get over those challenges so that the meat is actually accepted as it is. Business and economics, and this is where the Air Transport Association is the lead on the CAFI team, on the business and economics team, because what we're trying to do, again, is to get to finance and get to a place where we can purchase this. And so a lot of what we've been doing on the business and economics team is supporting efforts for potential suppliers to qualify for loans, and I should have written in here grants and finance, et cetera. I mean, any source of funding that we can get to for these guys is very critical, and I know that Charles is going to talk about some of those options in a bit. Environmental. We need to be able to show through life cycle analysis the environmental benefit, and then to quantify that benefit in a way that is accepted, and to address the uncertainties in the analysis. And CAFI has made great strides both in terms of identifying the rules and tools for the steps that you take in life cycle analysis, but also a tremendous number of case studies supported by research under the partner program. And I'm not going to go into detail because I know that Dr. Lourdes-Maurice is going to focus on the details of that. But again, to get to an agreement to buy the fuel, we have to know what it is. And we've made significant progress towards the deals. For example, in December of this, December of 2009, the Air Transport Association and a set of other airlines that are not ATA members joined together in announcing two memorandum of understanding for future purchase agreements. The first of those has 14 airlines in it. It's a hydro-processed renewable jet type of fuel made with camelina and possibly other sources of biomass, and it's slated to produce about 75 million gallons of jet per year. The other one, 13 airlines are in, is using the Fischer-Tropsch process that we talked about, coal with a mix of biomass and carbon sequestration to make sure that at the end of the day, we also have environmental benefit from that. And that program is going to bring about 250 million gallons per year. Those are memorandum of understanding. They're not actual purchase agreements. And why is that? We're close to purchase agreements, but what we need to do is continue to narrow that bit of uncertainty. And so both of these are slated for purchases beginning at the end of 2012. And so between now and then, and actually probably closer to now, what we're doing is narrowing the commercial terms for actual price, the length of the contract, the environmental benefits, et cetera. We're actively exploring other deals. A team of my guys was in the U.S. meeting with a team of would-be producers just this week, earlier this week, and looking at another set of deals that might be announced. A real critical thing that we've done, and I've been seeing it emulated around the world, is commercial aviation wields a certain amount of demand. We need a certain amount of fuel. And the military entities out there need a certain amount of fuel. Together, we actually, when we combine forces, that's a greater amount of fuel. And why does that matter? You've heard folks talk about a challenge that we have. We're competing with other modes of transport to get the supply. And so when we can show that we have a concentrated demand and that we can work together on explaining to the world what that demand is and getting into purchase agreements, we may be able to move those forward more quickly. So to this end, the Air Transport Association announced a strategic alliance with the United States military, the Department of Defense, Defense Energy Support Center, in March to do exactly that, to pool our talents, our experience, the work we're doing in CAFI, the work that the military is doing, et cetera, both to narrow those uncertainties to get to actual contract terms and purchase agreements, but to act almost like one buyer. So we are doing everything that we can possibly do to get to commercially viable, environmentally friendly alternative fuels. And you've heard a lot, and you'll keep hearing more. Jane has identified a role that we think is the right role for ICAO, which is to continue to facilitate, on a global basis, the promotion and harmonization of initiatives that the federations out there, whether it's CAFI or whether it's the European initiative that's like that, the Brazilian initiative that Guillermo has talked about, et cetera, really help encourage and support those developments and do information sharing like we're doing today. But we need more help from the governments on some of the key aspects to get to the deals. First, we need proper crediting to the airlines of the environmental benefits that we've determined. And You all will know, if you've heard me talk about this before, I'm not a fan of the European emissions trading scheme as applied to airlines, and I usually say the punitive, unilateral, and illegal European emissions trading scheme. But one of the things that's clearly right about what they've done is said in their requirements, you know what, we're going to credit appropriate renewable fuels with a special emissions credits or allowances. Those are the right things that governments need to be doing. Also, we have another practical issue that I'm not sure that governments have grappled with yet and that we're trying to bring to the attention, which is when we buy fuel, unless you do something like Chris had to do for his test flight, we don't really buy fuel and then put it right into the aircraft right from the producer, right? We have it piped to a facility. It's usually a common pipeline system, and it usually goes to a common storage system. And so that if Qatar Airways uses fuel in that kind of system, they might buy it. It might go to that tankage, but they might not actually fly it. And so we're going to need the crediting system for environmental benefits to recognize if you buy it, the environmental benefit sort of goes with the purchase, regardless of who flies it. Finally, we need to really get to cost competitiveness. And the airlines are doing what they can do in this very difficult credit market to stimulate investment in this area. But we need government support to support feedstocks and putting them on par with things, programs that are already out there. For example, for ground-based ethanol, there are lots of programs promoting that. We need something akin to that for the feedstocks that we would use, although I was very encouraged by Yuri's discussion about how those feedstock costs are coming down. And we also need support for capital costs for the facilities themselves, because that's not something that we can do alone. So, in sum, I'd like to suggest that we have a very bright future if we continue to work together in the Federation. And to quote a very important philosopher, Winnie the Pooh, in that regard, Winnie says, if ever there is tomorrow when we're not together, there is something you must always remember. You are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think. And that's what we are. Thank you.